Mark chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "He began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set an hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, They will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. They took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. They sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. And they brought it. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, If a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err? Because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he, and to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Ending a reading there at the end of verse. I suppose it's very hard to believe this evening when you consider the weather that we've had today and the weather that we've had over the past couple of days, that the last couple of years have been some of the wettest years on record. And of course, as you will realize, there's been a lot of talk about flooding right across the world. And there's all sorts of reasons been given for it. We are being told that it's to do with global warming. We're been told that it's to do with a change in pattern of the Gulf Stream. They blame it on increased areas of our countryside being covered in concrete. Houses being built in floodplains and nowhere for the water to run off. All sorts of reasons are been given as to why there's been so much flooding in recent years. But we've got to realize that flooding is by no means a new concept. In fact, right back from Genesis chapter 6, when God destroyed the world with a flood, there has been flooding that has taken place in various parts of the world, right across all of the centuries, and nowhere knows that better than a little village up in the Yorkshire Dales. That little village has been the subject of many different floods. In fact, some of those floods have made the Guinness Book of Records as being the greatest floods ever to take place in the world. But just by way of introduction tonight, what I want to do is to briefly relate to you the story of one of those floods that took place many years ago. It was a particularly wet spell of weather. An individual from the village on one particular night, he was out walking his dog and he followed his normal pathway. It took him out of the village and up into the hills and along the edge of the wall of the reservoir that was in the hills above that village. And as he walked along the edge of that reservoir, he looked down in and he looked at the water and he realized the water was at a fairly high level. He stopped and he looked over and he thought to himself, well, should I go down and warn the people of the village that the water seems to be fairly high? He made up his mind he would go, and off he set. And three or four steps into his journey, he turned back and he looked at it again. And there was a dilemma went on in his mind. And he said to himself, well, listen, it's late at night and I'm going to be causing a lot of hassle for nothing. And maybe things aren't as bad as I've seen. And so the dilemma went back and forward in his head, and eventually he went home and he went to his bed and he fell asleep. During the early hours of the morning, what happened was this: the banks of that reservoir gave way and a vast wall of water swept down into the village. Businesses were destroyed. Homes were wiped out. Many, many people lost their lives. Entire family circles, just as they lay in their bed fast asleep, all of a sudden they were out into eternity. I'm sure in the weeks that followed, that man must have had an awful amount of guilt, an awful amount of regret. You see, as he stood there at that reservoir, he had come so close to doing the right thing. So close to making the right decision. So close to raising the warning. And yet, it didn't matter how close he came. You see, for those homes that were destroyed, you see, for those businesses that were wiped out, you see, for those family circles where the entire family were ushered out into eternity, it didn't matter how close he came to making the right decision, because the result was the same. They were lost. Tonight, as we gather here in Lisburn Baptist Church, there are thousands and thousands of souls who are already in hell. you grasping that tonight? Is the reality of it sinking into your mind and into your heart? You've heard about hell, the flames, the pain, the punishment, the suffering, the torment. And as we sit here tonight, thousands of people are already in hell. You know, there are many classes of people in hell, but I'm quite sure tonight that amongst those who are in hell, some of those who are the most miserable, some of those who look back with the most regret, are those who perhaps sat in a seat like you tonight. Those who attended a gospel meeting. Those who heard the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he could save their soul from sin and from hell. And they perhaps tonight, they're able as they are in hell tonight, they're able to remember back to nights when someone at the front proclaimed the message of the gospel and their mind was troubled and their heart was troubled and they were thinking about getting saved and they were so close to getting saved. Oh, it was almost as if they were in the very threshold of getting saved. And yet they left without the Savior. And the sad reality tonight is this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how close they came. It doesn't matter how close they were to making that all-important decision. The reality tonight is this. No matter how close they were, they are still in hell. I'm sure no one here tonight wants to end up in that dreadful place. And it is for that reason I want to just very simply leave with you the words of verse 34 of this passage that we have read together where it says, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And what I want to do very quickly this evening is this. I want to just draw your attention to four little phrases that come out of the verse. And the first phrase is this, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. What are we speaking about here? What are we thinking of when Christ says the kingdom of God? What does he mean? Well, a kingdom is a very simple concept. I suppose a kingdom in biblical times was really just like a country in our modern day thinking. We had all sorts of kingdoms. We had the kingdom of Egypt. We had the kingdom of the Babylonians. We had the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. Kingdoms were really an expanse or an area of land that one particular king or administration had control over. And so we come here to chapter 12 and Christ refers to the kingdom of God. Now, you'll realize there's a sense in which this whole world is the kingdom of God because he's created the world. He's the one that has made the world. He's the one that controls the world. But listen, when Christ here refers to the kingdom of God, he's thinking about something much more different. He's thinking about a very special place. You see, in Matthew chapter 8, I'll not turn you to it this evening for the sake of time, but let me simply explain what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Christ was explaining to the people who were gathered before him. He says, when you die, listen, your body may go down into the grave, but he says you've got a soul that lives on. And he says that soul is going to live in one of two places. It's either going to live in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, or else it's going to live in the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of the devil, the place that we've already referred to called hell. Men and women and young people and boys and girls tonight, it's as simple as that. Every one of us one day are going to die. And our soul is going to live on. It's going to live for all of eternity. But eternity is going to be spent in one of two places. Either in hell or else in heaven, referred to here as the kingdom of God. Now, we've already touched on a little bit of what hell's like. But what about heaven? Well, those of you who are here this morning, you will know that we were trying to share a little of what heaven was like with the boys and girls. Heaven's that wonderful place. That wonderful place that God has prepared for us. That place of great beauty. I don't know about you, but, you know, separation's a terrible thing. I have friends home this week from New Zealand. I haven't seen them for a long time. They go away again in a few days' time, and I'll maybe never see them perhaps for years, if ever again. Separation is even worse when it comes to death, when we have a loved one, one that we have spent so many years with, and that loved one passes on, and all of a sudden the loneliness sets in and the emptiness sets in. But listen, the Bible says there's going to be no more separation if we go to heaven. Sickness. I'm almost tempted to ask to put up your hand if you've never been sick. I don't think there's very many who would be able to do it. But the Bible tells us there's going to be no more sickness, no more pain. Listen, heaven is such a wonderful place. There's so much we could say about it tonight. And that's what Christ is referring to here when he talks about the kingdom of God. He is speaking about a special place. But listen, he's speaking much more about than that. When he talks about the kingdom of God, he's also talking about a specific people. Because you see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Do you remember the man called Nicodemus? Nicodemus was one of the most godly, one of the most righteous, one of the most upright men who ever lived on this earth. And one night he came for a bit of a chat with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were talking about spiritual things. Picture the man, a church leader, a religious leader. And what does Christ say to him? He says, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he says, Nicodemus, unless you turn from your sin, unless you're born again, unless you're saved, he says you're never even going to see the kingdom of God. Never mind get into it. My friend, there's the message of the gospel tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross so that we can have our sins forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross so that you and I can go to this special place that God has prepared. But it's only by asking him to be our Savior that we can get in. It's only that specific group of people who have repented of their sins and made him Savior of their lives who'll be able to go to this place referred to here as the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Everyone in this meeting, do you want to go to this place? Do you want to go to heaven? Is the kingdom of God a place that you want to go to one day? Well, listen, the message is this. You need to be saved. The first phrase, the kingdom of God. The second phrase I draw your attention to is this. It's a little phrase there towards the start of the verse where it says, he answered discreetly. He answered discreetly. You know, when I look at the answer, and the answer there, you can read it for yourself. We're not going to take time to go through it in detail, but the answer is found there in verses 32 and 33. And when you look at his answer and how he answered discreetly, you know, it tells us a number of things about him. It tells us that he had a deep respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read the chapter, and here were these Sadducees and Pharisees, and they had one purpose. They had one intention. They were trying to trick the Savior. They were trying to outwit him. They were trying to outsmart him. They were asking him questions in order to see the answer, in order to try and trip him up. They had no respect for him. But here's this man, and it's very clear by his language, it's very clear by his whole attitude, by his whole demeanor, that here's a man who had deep, deep respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else I see when I look at his answer. Not only did he have deep respect for Jesus Christ, but you will see that he was a man who was familiar with the teaching of the Bible. You see, if you look there at verse 33, he's referring to a verse of Scripture. Now, I would say if I was to ask the question tonight, can anyone tell me where he's quoting from? There's very few of us would be able to do it. But listen, he was quoting here from two Old Testament verses, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also Leviticus chapter 19. And so, are you starting to get a picture of this man? I mean, this is not a drunkard. This is not a man who has no time for God, who has no time for the Bible. Here's a man who has respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man who knows something of the Bible. He knows what the Scripture teaches. But if you look closely at the verse again, Look at verse 33 and think about what he says here. He says, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you know what this man's saying? He's saying to Jesus, listen, I know that to be saved, it's not about an outward show. It's not about going through a ritual. It's not about going through a form and about living your life in a certain way. He says, I know that to be saved and to get to the kingdom of God is not so much about the outside, but it's about the inside. It's about having a change of life, a change of mind, a change of heart. One other thing that his answer reveals. It says he answered discreetly. You see, his answer was diplomatic because it was something he had never experienced himself, despite all of the knowledge. He never personally had experienced it. I wonder, am I speaking to someone here tonight? And you're just like this man. Well, you've got the greatest respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. We would never hear you like so many others today take his name in vain. Maybe you're here tonight and you have a fair grasp of the scriptures. You know so many of the Bible stories. You know so many of the events and of the things that have happened in the Bible. And maybe I could even take it a stage further tonight. Maybe you just don't have a knowledge, but maybe you've got an understanding. Maybe you're here tonight and you realize exactly what it's all about. You know the truth of what we've been saying tonight, and that is that if you're ever to get to heaven, it's much more than just living a good life. It's much more than just coming along to church on a Sunday. It's much more than just throwing a few pounds into the collection plate. You realize tonight, you know in your heart of hearts tonight, that being saved, that getting to the kingdom of God is about an internal work done in your heart. It's about having the new birth. It's about having a new experience. It's about giving your life to Christ. And yet maybe the reality is you're here tonight. And just like this man, despite what you know and despite what you understand, you've never experienced it yourself because you've never asked Christ to save you. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, he that believeth not is condemned already. We're looking at the phrases, the kingdom of God. He answered discreetly. The next little phrase I draw to your attention is the phrase, and when Jesus saw. And when Jesus saw. You know, I started to think about this. Here was Jesus meeting this man probably for the first time. And you know, you and I, when we meet somebody for the first time, we start to form an opinion of them. You perhaps have done that with me today already. We form an opinion of what the person looks like. And then as we hear them speak, we start to form an opinion of what their personality is like. And so when we meet people for the first time, we're forming an opinion of them. We look at the external, how they look. We listen to what they say. But here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he meets this man for the first time. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ see? He sees beyond the external. Lord Jesus Christ looks right into his heart. And he sees a man who is so close to accepting him as Savior. But listen, how does he see him? He sees him with compassion. And when he sees him with compassion, he speaks to him. And the whole purpose in Christ speaking to this man was this. He was trying to encourage him to take the next step. He was trying to encourage him to turn from his sin and to accept him as his Savior. You know, as I thought about this a bit more, I asked myself the question, well, when's the next time these two individuals met? Here they are, and they're standing face to face, they're eyeballing each other. Here's this man, and he has answered discreetly, and Christ is looking into his face and is encouraging him to get saved. And then the two of them go their separate ways. When's the next time they met? Well, there's no record that they ever met on this earth below. But listen, there's one thing for sure. Even they never met on this earth below, there was going to come a time when they would meet again, because the Bible tells us that one day we shall all stand before Christ as judge. And isn't it sad? There was this man, and as he listened to Christ speak, Christ was encouraging him to press ahead and to get saved. And yet on that day in the future, the words he was going to hear from Christ was, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Here was a day when Christ was compassionate towards this man, and yet on the next day when they were going to meet, if he didn't accept Christ as his Savior, Christ was going to condemn him. Here was a man that Christ was encouraging, and yet on a day in the future, Christ was going to sentence him. What was true of him is true of you here tonight. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I'm only a servant of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, I'm here tonight for a reason. I'm here tonight at God's command. I'm here tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to use me. And the reason he's using me is this. He wants to use me to encourage you. To encourage you not to rest content with knowing the Bible, not to rest content with knowing what it means to be saved, but he wants me to encourage you to take the next step and to ask him into your heart. But listen, the sad reality is tonight, if you don't take that step, there will come a day when you too, just like this individual, will stand before him as judge. The kingdom of God. He answered discreetly. And when Jesus saw, the final phrase I want to leave with you this evening is this as we close. Thou art not far. Thou art not far. You know, in one sense, this is a wonderful position to be in. For somebody to be so close to getting saved, you see, there's so many people in the world tonight who have never heard the gospel. And yet you're here tonight and you have heard it. There's others and they have heard the gospel, and the gospel doesn't seem to have had any impact upon them whatsoever. They've been untouched, unmoved, and that's not you tonight. You're here in this meeting and you have not only heard the gospel, but the gospel has had an impact on your heart and soul. You've been troubled by it. You've been disturbed by it. It's something that you're running over in your mind and your heart. And yes, in a manner of speaking tonight, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And that's a wonderful position to be in. But listen, let me say that not only is it a wonderful position to be in, but it's also a dangerous position to be in. I can remember when I was in my late teens and running about, there was a couple of girls that we were friendly with from Castle Derg. Now, I'm sure most of you know where Castle Derg is. It's almost the very far end of the province. And whenever we were going to anything and the girls were going home, they would always complain to their dad. They would say to them, "Dad, no matter where we go, it's always an awful long hour road home." The dad, he was a bit of a wit, and he said to them very simply, well, he says, it's like this. He says, if it was any shorter, it wouldn't take you home. Well, wasn't he right? Wasn't he right? If the road had only stopped a quarter of a mile down the road from their house, they wouldn't have been home. My friend, maybe you're not far from the kingdom of God. But that's a dangerous position to be in. Because you're not home yet. You know, I think of so many examples in the Bible. I think of Felix who trembled. And yet he sent Paul away. I think of Agrippa who was almost persuaded to be a Christian. And yet He never became to that point where he was altogether persuaded. I think of Abner, who was at the very gate of the city of refuge, and yet when he stopped at that gate, his life was taken. So close. So close. And yet so far. Many years ago, a ship called the Royal Charter had made a very long voyage from Australia. People had been out there mining gold, and they were coming home with their fortune made, set up for life. I want, just as I close this evening, to relate to you the story of two individuals who were on that ship. One of them was the captain. He had sent home a message to his family as they came around the coast of Anglesey, North Wales, almost home, going to berth in Liverpool. However, a tremendous storm blew up, and that ship was dashed on the rocks, and the lives were lost. The minister of the family was sent along to the family home. And he opened the door, and the little girl answered the door and brought the minister in. And as he walked in, what a sight set him, because the table was spread. They were expecting the husband. They were expecting the dad home. The minister unveiled the story. The mother said, "But how could it be? They've been traveling from Australia, and they were so nearly home. And yet he was lost." Another little boy, well, I say a little boy, a lad who had been out there working, who had made his fortune. The spot where the ship went down was so close to his family home in Wales that his dad was able to witness what was happening. And his dad came down to the edge of the coast, and his dad was standing there on the rocks, and the two of them were shouting back and forwards at each other. And yet the dad was helpless to do anything about it, within a stone's throw of his very house. And yet he perished in the water. So close to home. Yet he was lost. I wonder how close you are tonight. Maybe you're at the very verge of accepting Christ as Savior. Yet the reality is, if you put that off, you could go out into a lost eternity. Wouldn't matter how close you were. Just like the man that we've referred to at the start. You would have so many regrets that you made the wrong decision. Regrets that would last for all of eternity. I trust tonight that you'll think very carefully about this, the most important decision.